Justin, don't you love having a clean set of balls?
Do we mean footballs?
No, I mean my testicles. Justin, when I used to trim little Ryan, it was a risky job. My shaver would often cut me, and so the whole experience was rather unpleasant. Is it similar for you?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's usually quite uncomfortable.
Well, it doesn't have to be this way, because Manscaped have now launched in the UK. They are the ball shaving specialists. I've had a go on one of their trimmers, and it is a dream. It's designed specifically with your balls in mind. That means less accidents and a much smoother shave. Also, it's waterproof, so you can use it in the shower, and it's got an LED light, so you can see what you're doing. Justin, let me tell you, it's a life changer.
That sounds amazing. Where can I get one?
I'm glad you asked. Go to manscaped.com, and because you're a listener of this superb podcast, you can get 20% off plus free shipping if you use the code SECONDTIER. That's one word. So that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code SECONDTIER. Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. Hello and welcome to the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks and I'm joined by Justin Peach.
Good afternoon. Yeah, sorry, taken aback by the lack of insult there. That's quite nice.
That's because we're doing four episodes in 7 days, Justin. I can't be bothered to think of four different insults.
Or there's plenty of time to get them in for the rest of the week.
True. Good point. How's it going? You right?
Yes, not bad. Looking forward to getting a teeth stuck into some transfers because it's been a hectic week.
Yeah, it has. And we're looking forward to really giving you guys our thoughts on all the moves that have happened, because as Justin mentioned, transfer deadline day was a bit crazy, hence why we're having to do a separate episode where we just go through all the business from transfer deadline day and a couple of the days before that, because a lot of clubs have been very busy, Justin, and there's been some big money thrown around. One move in particular which has seen a lot of money thrown at it is Saeed Benrahma. He's left Brentford to go to West Ham. The deal is a loan with an obligation to buy, reportedly totalling £25 million. Now, of course, this move looked to be on the rocks at one point when there were reports Benrahma had failed his medical. Apparently that wasn't the case, but there were a few hitches with the agreement. Nonetheless, it's gone through. Justin, what are your thoughts?
Well, initial thoughts are it's a good move all round for Benrahma, for Brentford and for West Ham. Obviously, West Ham got a good player. Brentford get a relatively big fee, and Benrahma gets a chance to play in the Premier League. It doesn't feel quite right that he's gone to a team like West Ham, who, for me, haven't got the best out of their wingers in the last years. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do, because he's a bit of a maverick in football in terms.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't go to a club higher up the Premier League. And that's no disrespect to West Ham, but I think he's a very good player. And as I've said in plenty of other episodes, I reckon he could play for a top six side. I think it will be a good move, though, for all parties, as you say. It's interesting to think that you've now got at West Ham side, Jared Bowen on one wing, and then Saeed Benrahma on the other wing. If you told me a year ago that a Premier League club would have that, I'd be getting very excited, Justin. So I think it's a very exciting move, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he'll do in the Premier League. We've seen Ollie Watkins hit the ground running, and I think Benrahma will do the same at West Ham. Let's talk about another player who has left the Championship in a big money move. That's Joe Roden. He's gone to Spurs from Swansea. Swansea have replaced him with the defenders Ryan Bennett and, I'm going to absolutely butcher this name, Joel Latibodier from Wolves and Man City, respectively. Ryan Manning has also joined Swansea from QPR, along with Casey Palmer from Bristol City on loan. Joe Roden first, Justin, what are your thoughts?
Again, I think initial thoughts, you go to similar to the Benrahma deal, where it's a good move for the club, player and buying club. But you sort of have to feel a little bit that Swansea have weakened themselves and not getting perhaps a fee big enough to justify the player's age, potential and the club that he's gone to in Spurs. Obviously, they're a bit tight, Spurs are, so they're not going to want to pay a massive fee. But you consider other players like Ezri Konsa, who hasn't had as much experience as Joe Roden in the Championship, went for, I think, a similar fee of about £12 million, more. So maybe Swansea might feel a bit shortchanged, but you know, they're a club that sometimes it feels like they're desperate for money. It shouldn't be, but it feels like they are. And I think getting Rodin out the door gives them a fee and gives him a chance to play in the Premier League.
I think it's exactly that. I think Swansea were perhaps a bit desperate to sell to try and get some money in, even though they possibly could have asked for more. But for Spurs' perspective, I think they've got themselves a defender who I think is a Rolls-Royce defender, in the way that he reads the game brilliantly for such a young lad. Physically, he's there and he's brilliant with the ball as well. He is a Premier League player. Whether he will go straight into the Spurs lineup, I'm not too sure. It might be a season or two before he's at that level. At the same time, Spurs are playing Eric Dier at the moment at the back, aren't they? So yeah. That's no disrespect to Eric Dier, but I think Joe Rodin will be the long-term heir to be playing at the back for Spurs. I think it's a good sign. And Swansea have quickly moved, haven't they, to replace him with Ryan Bennett, who I think is a good signing for them, because he was at Wolves once. He was playing every week for Wolves when they got promoted a few seasons ago now. So it's a steady sign in that, and he's experienced as well. Joel L from Man City, don't know too much about him. He's a young lad who's gone there permanently, so see how he gets on. Ryan Manning from QPR, though, that's a very interesting signing, Justin, because he was one of the best left-backs last season. He was one of the best full-backs, actually, last season, wasn't he? So it's a bit surprising that QPR have let him go.
Yeah, and it was quite a late one, obviously. I messaged you on Friday and I was like, what? Where's this come from? But, you know, you consider that last season he had a contract extension from QPR, just a year contract extension. So I think probably at this point they might be thinking we're best cashing in on him, otherwise we get to January, he could speak to other clubs and he'll probably end up leaving for a free. And QPR, whilst they've done good, you know, selling business in the last few months, you know, easier for example, you know, they don't want to lose out on their assets essentially. So perhaps it's, you know, them cashing in at the right time. But it's a good move for Swansea, who effectively get a very, very good left wing back at this level. And obviously Steve Cooper does like playing a back three. But it just depends on where he fits. Obviously Jake Bidwell, I think, has been in good form since the start of the season.
Yeah, he has. But I think Ryan Manning, based on how well he was playing last season, will come into the side fairly soon. He's going forward. He is superb, isn't he? He created more chances than any other defender in the Championship last season. It's defensively where I've got a few question marks over him, but that could be ironed out of his game. He's still relatively young. So I think it's a good move. And what you were saying about QPR selling him at the right time, I think you're probably right there as well. Casey Palmer from Bristol City on loan as well. Steady move. Needed to get out of Bristol City, didn't he? Because he wasn't getting a look in there. Yeah. Colin Grant has left Huddersfield for West Brom in a deal worth £15 million. Terence Congolo has also left Huddersfield to go to Fulham for £4 million. Colin Grant at West Brom, what do you think?
I'm a big fan of it, mainly because I think Colin Grant's a Premier League striker in the making. He takes his chances. He's incredibly efficient in his chance conversion. You know, one of the best in the league last season, because obviously he's playing for a team that weren't creating many chances. So they needed a striker who could put chances away. Otherwise, they certainly would have gone down. Huddersfield, of course. And obviously, the season before that, he took the Premier League. He took to the Premier League so easily in a team that was genuinely terrible. Again, no disrespect to Huddersfield, they were almost as bad as that Derby team from in their maiden Premier League season in 07. They were that bad, and obviously you get a striker who is young and putting chances away, and only for £1.5 million, it's a good deal. And obviously they make a big profit on him, and Colin Grant gets a chance to play in the Premier League again.
Say £1.5 million.
Well, he signed for Huddersfield for £1.5 million.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant they sold him for £1.5 million. I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Big profit, £1.5 million.
Yeah, Colin Grant to West Brom. Brilliant move, I think, for, again, all parties. All the big moves, really, I think. Good moves for all parties, really, because at the end of the day, Colin Grant needed to leave Huddersfield because he's outgrown the club, really, hasn't he? He is a Premier League striker. He is a brilliant finisher. And even when Huddersfield were in the Premier League, as you were saying, he was still scoring goals, which is not something they were able to do very much that season. Yeah. But he's also versatile. He can play on the left as well as up front. He's quick. and for me, I think could potentially be an England striker one day. There's a lot of competition in the offensive position, so it's might be a bit tricky for that. But I think he's got the capabilities to maybe be involved at some point.
I think it's really important to make this point that if you follow a Championship team and have done for a while, it is no surprise to see players like Ollie Watkins, Ezra Konsa, Matty Cash take to Premier League so easily, because obviously we've seen them so often. So it would be absolutely no surprise that Colin Grant, Saeed Bemrahma excel as well. You know, the players are that good, and this is why the EFL is so important, because these players have progressed through the leagues and they're finally getting to showcase what they can do.
I think the thing is as well, the gap between the Premier League and the Championship isn't that big, really. Yeah. We look at Leeds now, when they were flying high in the Championship last season, they could have probably competed probably around the mid-table area. The lines are blurred between the gap now with the Premier League and the Championship, and that's why I think all these players who we've mentioned so far who have made big moves to the Premier League will flourish. Blackburn were very busy on deadline day, Justin. They moved for Harvey Elliott on loan from Liverpool, Barry Douglas from Leeds, Ainsley Pears from Borough, and Tom Tribal from Norwich. Harvey Elliott is the one that stands out for me, just because he's a young lad who has had plenty of talk about him over the past couple of years. Not necessarily all for all the right reasons, but he's a very highly rated player, isn't he? And he was given plenty of time in a Liverpool shirt last season, despite him being such a young age still. And now this is his chance to really show us at a senior level what he's capable of.
Yeah, he's a very good technical footballer as well, and I think he adds something very different to that front three for Blackburn, and it adds a lot of depth, more depth to that front three, which, you know, Dolan, for example, again, same as Harvey Elliott, quite young players, they're going to be consistent, so when they can come in, they can interchange. And it just makes them a lot more unpredictable. Blackburn, I say, a lot more unpredictable than they would be playing the same front three. So as I say, it gives them a bit more variation. But I think Barry Douglas is the one for me that stands out, because what Blackburn are essentially getting is a winner at this level. He's been promoted twice for Wolves and for Leeds. His left foot is very, very good. And I think with the style of play with Blackburn have early crosses and early balls into final third, he's very good at them, and Blackburn get a very good and experienced left back.
The interesting thing is that Blackburn they start this season very well, haven't they, and look like a surprise contender to finish quite high up the table this season. But these four signings that they brought in add so much depth to their squad, and this is a very tricky season with games coming thick and fast. These four signings add so much depth to that side, don't they? And I think that's going to really benefit Blackburn in the long run. As the season goes on, they pick up a few injuries. They've got quality all over the pitch now. I think Blackburn are one to keep an eye after what has been a very productive deadline day. The most impressive signing on deadline day, Justin, though, for me, is Cardiff, because they've loaned in Harry Wilson from Liverpool. Filip Benkovic from Leicester's also come in, along with Dylan Phillips, the goalkeeper from Charlton, in a permanent deal. Harry Wilson, that boy has got one hell of a left foot on him, hasn't he?
It's scary, isn't it, how good it is. It's probably one of the best left foots I've seen live. Obviously, there's some of the goals he scored, both for Hull City and Derby, in his two previous loan spells in the Championship were incredible. As I say, his left foot is scary, and Cardiff certainly get a player, depending on where they play him. You know, if he plays off the right, he's going to score goals. I don't know if he's that effective as a left winger. I think he's much better coming inside and putting balls in and taking shots. So it'll be interesting to see where Neil Harris plays him, because he's not a traditional winger. You know, he's not blessed with pace, and he's not that trickery, but his movement is very good, and his vision is very good. His goals and assists record at Derby, for example, was incredible. So Cardiff, well, they've got a player, and it's an expensive loan deal, but one, you know, if Cardiff get promoted, it'll be worth it.
I think with Harry Wilson, his technique with his left foot, it's got to be one of the best in the country, in the way that he's so good at just striking balls from distance, putting in crosses. He is superb at it, and as you say, it makes up for what he lacks in skill and pace. And I'm not saying he's slow or not very tricky, because he is capable of doing that as well. It's just his technique is miles ahead of anyone else in this league, really, because he could just hit them from anywhere. It's unbelievable. And with Cardiff, they needed strengthening in the wide areas, didn't they? We've been saying that recently with when you look at their squad, you've got to say the wingers are probably the areas where they're a bit weak in when they should be challenging for promotion this season. And getting balls into Kiefer Moore, the big man mountain up front, you need quality players to be delivering those balls, and Harry Wilson can definitely do that. So I'm very excited to see him this season. I think it's a massive signing for Cardiff, and if he can replicate his goal scoring form that he showed at Derby, then Cardiff are going to be right up there this season. Filip Benkovic and Dylan Phillips. Benkovic, well, they're two players, aren't they, who I thought would be playing regularly in the Championship this season. But Morrison and Nelson at the back for Cardiff have been very solid so far this season, and they were towards the end of last season as well. So I'm not sure how much game time Benkovic is going to get. And then with Dylan Phillips as well, Alex Smithies has been fairly solid in goal, even though Dylan Phillips was probably the best goalkeeper in the Championship last season.
Yeah, I'm really upset at Dylan Phillips one. You know how much of a fan I am of him, and I think him going to a team where he might be second fiddle to a first choice goalkeeper doesn't sit well with me. But what Cardiff have got are one keeper that's incredibly experienced and one keeper that is, you know, making a name for himself in the Championship in Dylan Phillips. So they've got two very good goalkeepers, which is very, very handy for a team that is gunning for promotion. And obviously with the Benkovic one, I think he adds another option for Neil Harris. You know, they can go back to a back three, Benkovic on the right, Morrison in the middle, and Nelson on the left. They've got balance there. And obviously if Morrison gets injured, they've got someone to step in Benkovic, and the same with Nelson.
I'd agree with that. Lovely. All right, let's have a break, Justin. After that, we'll talk Anthony Nocciart, Jack Butland and Colin Kazim-Richards. It's a little known fact that when Justin and I record these shows, 9 times out of 10 we're wearing a classic football shirt from years gone by. And where do we get them from? Classicfootballshirts.co.uk. In fact, as I record this, I'm wearing my PSG shirt with Thiago Silva on the back. Alternatively, I could have worn my Juventus shirt, Dortmund shirt, Blackburn shirt. I could go on. We're big fans of Classic Football Shirts here because they offer you classic football shirts at a great price. And it's not just shirts either. Oh no, dear listener. There's also training wear, tracksuits, shorts, socks, you name it. And I can guarantee they'll have something for your club. So head on over to classicfootballshirts.co.uk or visit them in store in either London or Manchester. Welcome back to the Second Tier Podcast. We're doing a transfer roundup to go through all the business from deadline day in the second tier. And Justin, we'll talk about one of the big moves from deadline day. It's Anthony Nocciart. He's reunited with Chris Hughton at Forest. A match made in heaven, some might say.
It is. They are a couple that you just love to see together. Like, they've had not a tiff, but they've had a bit of a break, and now they're back together. And I think it's gonna prosper, isn't it?
I love how you've made Chris Hughton and Anthony Nocciart a couple. But at this level, Anthony Nocciart has got a brilliant record, hasn't he? And it didn't really work out with him at Fulham last season, but I think that was more down to the style of play that Scott Parker used, because it didn't really suit Nocciart, did it? But with Hughton, that's more his gravy, isn't it?
Definitely. It's a strange one, isn't it? Because you think a possession-based team should be able to utilise wide players effectively, but Nocciart and Cavaliero did not get anywhere near where they could be capable of. And I think Nocciart coming into Forest, where, you know, they're a structured, organised team, everyone's going to have a role. I'm not sort of disregarding it, but it's going to be simple. And I think simplifying it is going to make players like Nocciart and Lolly and Amiobi really come out. And obviously, Hughton's is a manager who likes the use of his wide players, and Nocciart being one of them, and obviously Lolly and Amiobi, they're gonna create chances, they're gonna score goals. It's terrifying for other teams. Obviously, Forest have got Derby coming up this week. I'm slightly nervous, but, you know, again, if you're going back to just enjoying people and players and managers playing well for each other, you know, Hughton and Nocciart are a good couple.
Still in a relationship. Jack Butland has left Stoke to go to Crystal Palace for just £1 million. Just a year ago, Justin. He was being linked with a £25 million move to Villa. Angus Gunn has gone on loan to Stoke the other way from Southampton. Jack Butland is a very sad case, isn't it?
It is, and I think back to that Germany game, in the England-Germany game in 2018, where he broke his ankle. And for me, he was ahead of Pickford at that point, probably at this rate, or at this current state, he'd probably still be ahead of Pickford. but, you know, all jokes aside, it is a shame because he's a likeable goalkeeper and he had a lot of potential at one point, and I think his form has dipped. That coincided with Stoke's form dipping, and, you know, while Stoke are just starting to recover now, don't think Butland has recovered from it, which is a massive shame because for me, he's a really likeable goalkeeper.
Yeah, he had a terrible year last season, didn't he? It was one of the worst seasons I've ever seen from a goalkeeper. and when you take into account his stature as well in English football, it's a massive shame, isn't it? Whether he'll manage to get back to his best at Crystal Palace, I'm not too sure. I think he'll might just be a backup for Vincent Guiter for the time being. Sad to see. Angus Gunn, though, to Stoke. Interesting move because he was very good at Norwich a few seasons ago in the Championship. Then he made this move to Southampton, hasn't really played too much, but he's competed with Adam Davies, who we think is one of the best goalkeepers in the Championship.
Yeah, we said this last weekend in the last episode how much we rated Adam Davies. You know, he's kept 7 clean sheets this season, which is going to be difficult to overcome. Is it an expensive loan deal for a backup goalkeeper? It's a strange one. You know, Angus Gunn is going to be one to playing football, and is he going to get that? Is he going to get ahead of Davies? You know, Davies has just hit form. Do you really want to unsettle your back five? You know, your four defenders and your goalkeeper at this stage when they are all playing well? I don't know.
Aidan Flint has gone to Wednesday on loan from Cardiff. Jack Marriott has also joined on loan from Derby. Aidan Flint to Wednesday in a Gary Monk side. It seems like another match made in heaven.
Yeah, and, first of all, set pieces are going to be terrifying for any defence against Sheffield Wednesday this season because the likes of Iorfa, Flint, Tom Lees, there's players there who can head the ball. And obviously Flint, as we know, is a goal scorer? Question mark. Not quite worked out for him at Borough or Cardiff, but you hope that in a team that there's relatively low expectation, you know, you just want to get back to playing football. I think it's a good move for Flint because, you know, Wednesday are a structured team, it's going to suit him.
I always find it funny how whenever anyone talks about Aidan Flint, it's always about his goal scoring. It's not about his actual defending. It is his goal scoring that he's most well known for, isn't it? And his defending, I think, is all right at Championship level. It is, as you say, his aerial threat where he's most prominent. But Jack Marriott on loan from Derby, I think, is an interesting move because Wednesday haven't got that many striking options. And Jack Marriott is someone who has been really out of form for the past year or so now. This is a chance for him to get back to his best.
Yeah, definitely. He's a striker that needs to be playing football. He needs to run the games. I think he's got 10 goals in 70-odd games for Derby, which isn't a good return at all for a player who's cost the club £5 million. So getting back to a team that, again, relatively low expectation, you just want to be playing your football and obviously trying to get Wednesday as far up the table as you can. Jack Marriott, it's a good move for Wednesday and Marriott because I think, you know, if you create chances for him, eventually he's going to put them away. So it's a chance for him to get his confidence back. And he's 26 years old. He's not getting any younger. He should be in his prime, and he's not playing like he is.
He is a confidence player, isn't he? And it seems like his confidence has been dashed over the past year or so. And his fitness hasn't been great either. So, as I say, really good chance for him to show what he can do. Barnsley brought in Herbie Kane in a permanent deal from Liverpool. Matty James is also re-signed from Leicester. Forgot he existed. But more importantly, Corley Woodrow has also signed a new deal after being linked with a move to Cardiff. Herbie Kane, very good move, isn't it? Because I think he's joined for £1.25 million. Only 21 years old. Very handy signing considering what kind of player you're getting and the potential that he's got.
Yeah, he showed what he can do in that Doncaster loan spell under Grant McCann, who obviously had him at Hull last season. and there was glimpses of what he could do for Hull last season. You know, there's a couple of set piece goals, for example. He's a good player, and it's an incredibly good value deal for Barnsley. You know, you're getting a player who is still young, has shown what he can do already, and he's only cost him just over £1 million. It's a great transfer, and obviously, as I say, set pieces wise, you know, he's going to be a danger.
It could be an absolute bargain in hindsight, couldn't it? And there could be quite a few clubs thinking, why didn't we go in for him? I'd say it's only my second biggest bargain of transfer deadline day. You'll find out my biggest bargain in just a sec. Patrick Roberts has rejoined Middlesbrough on loan from Man City. He was fairly handy once last season. I think Middlesbrough fans will be very happy to see him back at the club, and it'll be interesting to see what he can produce.
Yeah, he's a player who, you know, keep the injuries away, running games, give him some confidence. He can flourish because he's got all the ability in the world. He's shown that in his first loan spell at Celtic, for example. But it's just not quite worked for him yet. But, you know, Neil Warnock gets the best out of players, so it's a good place for him to be.
Yeah, he's had plenty of loan spells, hasn't he? It makes me wonder if this might finally be his permanent home. Because I can't imagine he's going to get into the Man City team anytime soon. So he's going to go to a club around the same size as Middlesbrough, isn't he? And this is a chance for him to show at what he can do at Championship level again. Kenneth Sahor has gone to Millwall on loan from West Brom. They needed a striker to fill the gap that's been left by Troy Parrott's not even played yet, but Troy Parrott joined on loan from Spurs, didn't he? But he's been struggling with fitness initially. So Kenneth Sahor is a more than suitable filler for now, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan of this deal because not only do Millwall get, you know, an experienced Championship striker, you know, I think he's ahead of John Daddy Bodvarsson, for example. Matt Smith's in a league of his own. Let's not consider Matt Smith in this. He's a brilliant footballer, but he adds something slightly different. He's good in the air, but he's good with his feet. He's good at holding the ball up, and he's going to get plenty of service at Millwall. So I expect a high number of goals for Kenneth Sahor. Maybe I'd expect him to hit double figures in this team.
Really?
I really do. As I say, you've got players like Jed Wallace delivering the ball. I think Zahor's got the potential to score goals. And playing alongside, hopefully, Troy Parrott, it's a good attack.
I'm not sure he'll get double figures this season. He's not got a great record at this level, even though he was prominent in that Cardiff side that got promoted a couple of seasons ago. But Troy Parrott's going to come in eventually. I think he'll just be Troy Parrott up front on his own with Wallace and someone else supporting him in a front three. But as I say, Zahor's a perfectly serviceable player for the meantime while we wait for Parrott to get back to fitness. Birmingham signed Jake Clark-Salter again on loan from Chelsea. Anything you want to say on that?
He's a good defender. I think he's better than Mark Roberts. So alongside Harley Dean, it's a good deal. Hopefully he can do what he did last season, you know, replicate the same sort of form. So it's a good deal.
Yeah. Craig Dawson's left Watford to go to West Ham on loan. Out of all the big names at the club that Watford fans were worried about losing, I imagine he was the one they least cared about.
Yeah, he's a weird one for me, Craig Dawson, because he gets relegated wherever he goes, and he's fairly unspectacular, but he still gets Premier League deals. So yeah, I don't think Watford fans will be too unhappy. They've got a good defence, got Ben Wilmot coming through, so you'd be happy with that. And obviously, you kept some of your key players, so smiles all around.
Yeah. Rotherham have brought in Florian Josephzoon from Derby. He moved to Derby for £3 million in 2018. He's made 48 appearances and scored 3 goals. And then, as we were mentioning on the roundup episode on Sunday, he made his debut for Rotherham, came on in the 66th minute, made 4 touches and gave away a penalty. So not a great start for Flojo, but I do think it is quite interesting because he could end up being a good signing, couldn't he?
I think it is a really good signing for Rotherham. They get a good experienced Championship winger. He's a tricky player. I liked him because I know you, I think I'm a supporter that's sort of on his side, just wanting him to do well. Obviously at Derby, it just didn't work out for him. He's got 2 good feet. He can cross the ball. and he can beat his man. He just never showed it at Derby, or didn't show it enough at Derby. So it was really disappointing. But hopefully, because again, he seems like a nice guy. So there's a bit of sympathy there after his debut. But hopefully, he can get back to full form and play more for Rotherham, because Rotherham are going to be the ones that benefit.
The thing is, he was fairly handy at Brentford, wasn't he? He didn't set the world alight, but he was fairly handy. They looked like there was a player there. With Rotherham, they could use someone who is a bit of someone who's low on confidence at the moment and can show off his ability if a given chance. And as you say, it's a decent move for all parties, really. But this is my bargain of the transfer deadline day. Justin, Joe Morel has moved to Luton from Bristol City in a deal reported to be just £200,000. A full Welsh international, 9 caps I think he's got so far for the Welsh national team, still only 23. And it surprises me that Bristol City have let him go for a pittance, really. Admittedly, he wasn't going to get much game time at Bristol City this season because they've got so many centre midfielders. But at the same time, I feel like they could have got a bit more money for him, and Luton will be looking at this thinking, wow, how have we managed to pull this deal off?
Yes, it is an interesting one. It's a very good move for Joe Morel and Luton. Luton get a very good player who will want to show what he can do at Championship level. But I imagine Bristol City, you know, to speculate, would have a sell-on fee in there, and it's only going to benefit them because I think perhaps in a year or two, Joe Morel's a player who could go to a team higher up the table for £1 or 2 million, and at the end of the day, Bristol City might get 10-15% of that. I don't know how these things work, but you know, he's a player that's come through the ranks, so I'm sure Bristol City will be wishing him well.
Yeah, and finally, Colin Kazim-Richards has joined Derby, his 18th club in his 16-year career. He's played in 8 different countries so far. Justin, as a Derby fan, I'm very interested to know your thoughts.
Yes. Well, firstly, we've essentially signed the modern-day Trevor Benjamin. Obviously, if you're familiar with Trevor Benjamin, he's a journeyman. Colin Kazim-Richards is a journeyman, albeit around Europe rather than Leicestershire. But it's underwhelming, mainly because we were promised so much with the rumours. You know, there was Charlie Austin, Kenneth Zahor at one point, a chap called Ferda Dursun in Germany. We had all the names, but we ended up with Colin Kazim-Richards. We'll see. I'm not particularly happy, but I'm not unhappy.
He's just a backup at the end of the day, isn't he? And while Martin Wycorn's out injured. Interestingly, Wayne Rooney has now had his run-in with someone who... Well, basically, he's... Because of rules around coronavirus, I can't remember exactly what's happened, but he's unavailable now for the next couple of games or so. So he looks like he might be getting some game time for Derby over the next week or so, which is going to be interesting to see. 34 years old, only got double figures once in his career as a striker. So it's going to be fun to watch as a neutral. Trevor Benjamin, by the way, while you were talking about him, just had a quick search. 29 teams in his career. Decent going, that, isn't it? That's a lot of signing on fees.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
His most recent club was in 2012, where it was Seaton Delaval Amateurs. You're a fan of the amateurs?
The amateurs. Yeah, that's a weird question. Let's move on.
The thing is, just going back to Benjamin, he played for just 2 clubs in the first 10 years of his career.
Why is Trevor Benjamin hijacking this episode?
Well, you brought him up. I just thought I'd have a little trip down memory lane to see what...
Indulge the listeners.
What old Trev Benj was doing with himself now. Not too much from the looks of it. Also played 2 times for Jamaica. So well done, Trevor. Anyway, let's wrap up this episode, Justin. This has been a transfer roundup where we've just gone through all the business on transfer deadline day in the Championship. We have got midweek games this week, so we will be back on Thursday to give you a roundup of those games. And then, of course, we'll be back again on Sunday to give you all the latest from the weekend's games in the Championship. We hope to see you there soon. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks.
I'm Justin Peach.
Thank you for listening.